Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the June 18th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll begin with the first page stories. Arcola School Board Survey Drive Search for Superintendent by Ben Crane. Vic Zimmerman of the Illinois Association of School Boards provided an update on the superintendent search over the looming retirement of Tom Mulligan. In a survey IASB sent out to administrators, staff, and parents, they received 218 replies, which Zimmerman calls pretty good. The survey asked for information regarding the ideal characteristics and qualifications of a candidate. The responses received will be taken into account by the IASB when they search for candidates. The model handbook that the school uses for their handbook was released, and of the changes made, none were made of note at the meeting. The second reading was approved. The workers' compensation self-insurance trust renewal was approved in the amount of $37,000, while the catastrophic injury insurance renewal was also approved for $1,200. 20 MacBook Pros were approved for purchase by the board in the amount of $31,000. The devices will be used for the graphic arts program. The board also approved the district consolidated plan, which is needed for application for state and federal grants, such as the school's bilingual Title I, II, and IV, and immigration grants. The item includes plans for received funds and goals. Finally, the board approved the amended budget for the 2024-25 school year. "We're definitely coming in a bit under budget," said Mulligan. Kyle Shea gave the elementary report, saying that pre-K summer school has started and literacy curriculums are being worked on by the new principal, Marissa Brewer. In junior-senior high school principal, Nick Lindsay said that they are very busy to staff vacant positions. He also reported that the school was sixth in graduation rate over the last 3 years in the area. Mulligan said in his report the parking lot project starts this week. He also said that transportation costs have been taking a toll. "We are financially struggling somewhere in the area," he said. He considered cuts to pre-K bus routes, but ultimately ruled against it because he wants to give parents more notice if he were to make that decision. It might save the district $28,000. Mulligan also said that he attended another TIF meeting and he had continued to be aggressive to capture enrollment growth from the funding Fufang and Cronus projects near Tuscola. He said they are considering new TIF district as well as some other opportunities. "Now we might be able to do it without a TIF," he said. Kara Roberts' resignation as high school softball head coach was accepted, while the employment of Kara Horbach as junior high softball coach, Kaylee Horbach as junior high volunteer softball coach, Justin Glass as junior high school baseball coach, Sergio Medina as permanent substitute and head football coach, and Jason Kahn as athletic director were all accepted. The next article from the Villa Grove School Board, "Improvement Shown in State Scores" by Gabriela Agius. The Villa Grove School Board accepted several donations from local businesses and the community at their monthly meeting on Monday. Addie's Boutique, the Hamilton Family DCC Propane, and Tuscola Stone Company all made donations to autism awareness. Donations totaled $650. A total of $200 in donations were made in the memorial of Marilyn Williams, who was a former bus driver for the district. The board approved the ended budget for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2025. Superintendent Carol Munson said everything looks good. The ED fund has more revenue than expenses planned. For operations and maintenance, there are more expenses due to unplanned boiler work that needed done. The transportation fund is waiting on a fourth payment, and a bill from the previous fiscal year rolled over into the current fiscal year. This was for the door and window project, which was completed in the fiscal year ending in 2024. However, there were some problems that required the project to take a little longer. Because of this, the project wasn't completed until the summer term of 2024. The board also approved insurance renewals for property, business, and casualty coverage. This went up by about 19%. The board also approved the renewal of their workman's comp policy, which also increased slightly. The board approved the fees for meals, registration, participation, and miscellaneous fees for the 2024 through 26 school year. The only increase was in breakfast and lunch, which is determined by the USDA. For the superintendent's report, Dr. Munson reported that the school maintenance project grant could not be transferred to a different project. This grant was initially proposed to match $50,000 in funds used for maintenance projects. The district was going to use these funds to renovate the lower-level high school bathrooms. However, when Omni gave an initial quote, the project would have cost around $138,000. After looking at the project again, the cost would now be about $238,000. Because of this, Dr. Munson recommended the board cancel this project and try to use the funds on a different project. However, this cannot be done. Dr. Munson suggested the district wait for now to see if the costs go down for the bathroom project. If not, the district can return the money back to the state if it goes unused. Dr. Munson also reported that the school resource officer, Ben Mingo, completed his ALICE training. He is now trained on ALICE drills and can instruct the training for staff. The training is used in the case of an active shooter event. For the junior high and high school principals report, Sarah Jones thanked everyone involved in graduation, including custodians and staff. She also congratulated the class of 2025. Principal Jones also briefly went over the school improvement plan for the next year. Three goals were made for the junior high. For the English and language arts, the district goal was met, but the state goal was not quite attained. This was the same for the math goal. Growth was made, but not quite hitting the state average. Attendance is in line with the state goal. For school improvement, the state provided money. New curriculum was purchased to keep growing and reaching goals in the junior high. The board will meet again on July 21st at 6 p.m. in the high school library. Arcola City Council. Amend grants amounts by Ben Crane. The Arcola City Council amended two different business district redevelopment agreements at their meetings on Monday night. The first was with Fred Helmuth and his property at 462 East Springfield, where the city previously granted $17,500 of the total redevelopment project costs, or 50% of the total amount paid. The amendment now grants $20,000, or 50% of the total cost. The second amendment does the same thing with Diana Kaufman. The storefront model is Bourbon Creek Cabinetry Incorporated. The final item was an amendment of the Arcola Municipal Code. We had a typo in the water rate ordinance that went into effect earlier in the year, City Administrator Bill Wagoner said. There was a number off in the writing. The next first page story, Herf Jones expands Arcola facility while closing Champaign plant. Herf Jones, a leader in graduation and achievement products, announced plans to expand its operations in Arcola as part of a broader effort to streamline and modernize its manufacturing footprint. This consolidation will include the transition of manufacturing operations from the company's Champaign facility, which is expected to close in March 2026. The Arcola facility will support the full scope of production, while distribution services will shift to the company's headquarters in Indianapolis. The Arcola and Indianapolis facilities offer more modern infrastructure and the capacity needed to meet the evolving needs of schools and students nationwide, the company said. After a thorough evaluation of our manufacturing footprint, we recognize the need to expand our operations in Arcola and, as a result, begin the phased closure of our Champaign facility. The decision is in no way a reflection of the dedication and performance of our exceptional team in Champaign, who have been a cornerstone of Herf Jones for more than four decades, said Ron Stupa, Chief Executive Officer of Herf Jones. We're committed to supporting every impacted team member, either in another role within the company or with resources to help them take the next step in their career. We remain committed to Illinois by strengthening our presence in Arcola and see the transition as a strategic step forward for future growth and expanded, more modern operational footprint, he said. The Champaign facility has played a critical role in celebrating milestones for millions of students, the company said. In recognition of that legacy, Herf Jones is offering relocation opportunities to Arcola and Indianapolis, transportation support for critical roles, and additional resources such as career services, financial assistance, and extended benefits to support impacted employees during the transition. The next first page story, Momentum Grows in Arcola Through Chamber and Rotary Collaboration, by Ben Crane. A renewed wave of civic and economic engagement is beginning to reshape Arcola's community landscape, as local volunteers and business leaders take a hands-on approach to revitalization through the city's Chamber of Commerce and Rotary Club. Much of the work has been driven by coordinated outreach efforts from longtime business mentor and civic leader Mick Howery, who currently serves as president of the Arcola Rotary Club and director of economic development for the Arcola Chamber. I'm not looking for peace about me, Howery said. I'm not trying to put myself in any way, shape, or form. That's not what I want to have done here. After graduating from Arcola High School and spending decades away pursuing his education and business career, Howery said he never expected to return until life steered him home. I didn't think I'd ever come back, but circumstances changed and I came back several years ago, he said. I realize I really do care about Arcola, a lot of things about Arcola, and my roots were here. Since returning, Howery has immersed himself in civic services, from working on dementia caregivers at Carriage Crossing to mentoring entrepreneurs through Eastern Illinois University's Small Business Development Center. These experiences, he said, have given him clarity of purpose. God gave me a purpose for my life, I believe, even at this age, my old age, and that purpose is to spend my time, whatever I have left, volunteering and trying to help other people, he said. That purpose soon led him to take on formal roles with the Rotary Club and Chamber of Commerce, where he saw untapped potential for renewed activity and leadership. I saw needs there, maybe leadership, maybe reinvigoration, maybe activity, Howery said, just a chance for somebody like me to get involved and maybe stimulate some things or cause some things to happen. His approach has been both personal and persistent, knocking on doors, walking the streets, and listening directly to the concerns of business owners. One of the things I hear most often is, what's the chamber going to do for me? Why would I give the chamber money? Howery said, that's a fair question. So I found in my mind, one of the things we need to do is show them what the chamber is willing to do. To address that disconnect, Howery has helped organize a series of community conversations and networking events where business owners can meet, share ideas, and learn about local initiatives. The goal, he said, is not only to foster relationships, but to build awareness of what's already happening in and around Arcola. I wanted them to meet Daisy Pimentel and see what Daisy's been doing at Shays, and what she will be doing, he said, and I really wanted the people of Arcola to know about the Bruin Palace. I was so pleased that I was able to get Pat Monahan and Lisa Boyer there to talk. And I was so pleased that Stephanie McMahon talked about Douglas County Economic Development because people don't really know what's going on. They spoke at a chamber social hour at Shays where community leaders, business owners, and stakeholders met for some snack and drink, as well as share what is currently happening and what will happen in Douglas County in the future. Pimentel spoke about a new menu at Shays while Boyer and Monahan talked about the Broom Palace and what they have planned post-construction. McMahon spoke on what was happening at the DCEDC along with some programming developments with the potential Fufang and Cronus projects and what they could mean for Arcola. Future gatherings will include speakers from Coles County and beyond as Howery and other organizers look to expand Arcola's presence within a growing regional network of economic collaboration. My next evolution of all this is working with the district governor for Rotary, and we have 22 counties, he said. My job as an ambassador, which I think I kind of am, is to talk to anybody who will listen and to talk to them about Arcola, and that's just what I do. Though Howery describes himself as someone who's not naturally outgoing, he says the mission drives him every day. By nature, I'm not an outgoing, bubbly type guy, he said, but every day when I get up and thank God that I'm up, I put on this demeanor and say, you're going to go out, you're going to talk to people, you're going to represent Arcola. Part of that representation includes two new initiatives that Howery and a small team of collaborators are preparing to launch. Projects, he said, will start in Arcola and, if successful, expand across multiple counties. The inaugural site will be Arcola, Illinois, Howery said. When Arcola works well, we're going to roll it out in a certain number of counties, and it's going to be really successful. We're going to roll it out throughout the state. Though he's not yet ready to discuss full details, Howery said the programs will focus on business development, community volunteerism, and engaging younger generations. They're going to promote business. They're going to promote citizen activity in a volunteer way, he said. I have great faith in the younger generation. I think there's a lot of this old generation, the boomers, can do because there's a lot you all want to do, know how to do. Howery credits a single moment of clarity earlier this year as the spark for the upcoming project. I was driving home from Effingham after a two-day event, and for some reason, a kernel of an idea came to me, he said. By the time I got home that Sunday night, I had formulated a concept and put it on paper the next day. That concept has since evolved into a detailed plan, backed by what Howery calls reassurance and excitement from others involved. I've talked to enough people. Yeah, it's got legs, he said. I've run it all the way up to the top level where it needs to be looked at and been blessed, so yeah, it's going to work. For Howery, the work remains deeply personal. I want Arcola to be proud of me, he said. I want Arcola to be proud of what the Howery name, because we don't have much of a legacy around here. And if I can make an impact and some people remember the Howery name in that future, that's good. I like that. Ultimately, he sees his efforts as part of something much larger than himself. I don't take credit for anything that I do, he said. I believe that I've been given the purpose and I've been given the gifts or talents. It's really not me. It's coming from somewhere else and just being channeled through me. For now, the focus stays local. The project, conversations, the hours spent connecting people, each effort, Howery said, is part of a broader commitment to making Arcola stronger, more connective, and better prepared for what comes next. In the last first page story, Thrills Return to the Modo Fair, The Carnival is Back, by Doris Elmore. Directors of the Moultrie-Douglas County Fair are excited to announce the return of a carnival to the 94th Annual Fair, July 25th through August 2nd. The fair dates were changed in order for Swear Amusements Incorporated of Athens, Illinois, to fit the fair into their schedule. There will be 16 rides with something available for all ages. The carnival will open Monday, July 28th with a special ticket promotion night. Wristband nights will be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tickets can be purchased for Friday and Saturday evenings. They will also bring games and concessions featuring elephant ears, funnel cakes, food, and so much more. Race Weir Rides was started back in 1958 by Ray and his wife, celebrating 67 seasons in business in 2025 this Weir. Family has continued the tradition of their father started and is now being operated by Ray's oldest son, Terry, Alex, Roger, daughter Teresa, and families. The Swear family takes great pride in their equipment and safety as their number one concern. They state, "We not only want our patrons to have a great time, but also a safe and memorable experience while on our midway." The Moultrie Douglas Fair Board has been working tirelessly to obtain a great carnival and feel they have accomplished this with the Swear and Amusements Incorporated. We'll catch you on the big Ferris wheel, taking a look at the countryside, or trying out one of the many other rides this year. It's going to be a great fair. We'll move now to the obituaries. Don Howery of Harvell, Missouri, entered into the presence of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the age of 91 on Father's Day, June 15th, 2025, at Cape Girardeau Veterans Home. There will be no funeral services at this time. The family will arrange a celebration of life at a future event. Eli Hirschberger passed away peacefully at home in Sarasota, Florida on May 14th, 2025, surrounded by family. A visitation was held Monday, May 19th, followed by a service at Bethel Mennonite Church in Sarasota. Bertha Loreen Kaufman Chupp, 79 of Lovington, passed away at 6:50 p.m. on June 15, 2025, at her residence. Funeral services were held Wednesday, June 18th, at the Otto Center in Arthur. Bishop Nelson Diener officiated. Burial was in the Otto Cemetery in Arthur. Visitation was held Monday, June 16th and Tuesday, June 17th at the Otto Center. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Cynthia Rose DeMoray, 71 of Tolono, passed away peacefully at Arthur Arbor Rose in Tolono, surrounded by her loving family at 4:15 p.m. on Thursday, June 5th, 2025, following a battle with dementia. A celebration of Cindy's life will be held at 4 p.m. Friday, July 11th at Worship in Word Ministry, 104 East Southline Road, Suite B, Tuscola. Minnie M. Vanderventer, 88 of Camargo, passed away peacefully on Saturday, June 7th, 2025 at Carriage Crossing Senior Living in Arcola. A private family service will be held. Memorial donations may be made through Breakthrough T1D, formerly known as the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. The next article, Craft Broom Contest Open for Submissions. In the late 1840s, the Thomas Monahan Company sponsored a national big broom contest for hundreds of U.S. manufacturers of broom corn brooms in existence at the time. The Monahan Company awarded cash prizes and publicity to the manufacturer who could make the largest broom. The contest was a big success and a lot of fun. Now, Monahan Partners, a spin-off of the Thomas Monahan Company, is sponsoring a craft broom contest for the nation's craft broom makers. There are over 200 craft broom makers in the USA, and Monahan Partners hope that they will submit a broom. They'll be awarding $1,200 in prize money for the top three finishers, $600 for first place, $400 for second place, and $200 for third. Broom, Brush, and Mop magazine will provide additional publicity for the winners. Brooms will be judged by aesthetics and craftsmanship for wall hanging, fireplaces, etc., and must be made 100% broom corn and be functional. Two local artists and a broom manufacturer will make the selections. Submissions are due at the Monahan Partners office by August 30th. All brooms will be displayed in the broom tent at the Arcola Broom Corn Festival, and many will be for sale. The winners will be announced at the festival. Many will end up on display at the Arcola Broom Palace. The Arcola Broom Corn Festival is celebrating its 54th year and will be held from September 5th through 7th. It's the most popular festival in Central Illinois, says Pat Monahan, who will create the broom at the top. The next article, Arthur gearing up for annual fireworks. The official 2024 Arthur Fireworks t-shirts are available for purchase at Arthur at Kirby's Foods, Dick's Pharmacy, Yoder's Kitchen. Sizes available for youth small up to adults 3X. This year's fireworks will be held on the evening of Saturday, June 28th in Jurgens Park, the fairgrounds. All proceeds from the shirt sales will be donated to the Combat Veterans Motor Club Association, CVMA. The CVMA is an association of combat veterans from all branches of the United States Armed Forces who ride motorcycles as a hobby. It's their mission to support and defend those who have defended their country and our freedoms. Their focus is to help veteran care facilities provide a warm meal, clothing, shelter, and guidance, or simply say thank you and welcome home. R3 Rotary Club said it's excited to be hosting the 2025 edition of the Freedom Celebration Fireworks on June 28th. They hope you're looking forward to it too. Once again, they're selling priority seating wristbands in advance of the celebration. Priority seating is in Jurgens Park, starting along the lane south of the pool house toward the T-ball diamond on the gravel lot south of the main diamond and the fenced area on the north side of the football field. Wristbands are available for adults and school-aged children. Seating within the main ball diamond and other areas of Jurgens Park is still free. Skip the lines and much of the crowd by sitting in priority. Wristbands go on sale Monday, June 2nd at the First Neighbor Bank, Oye's Hardware, and People's Bank and Trust, all in Arthur. Money from the wristband sales allows the Arthur Rotary Club to provide scholarships, support our schools, and help other local organizations that serve our community. The next article, Happy 25th Anniversary to the Niagara Falls of the Arthur Fireworks by Trudy Feierreisen. This summer marks the 25th anniversary of the famous Niagara Falls display at the Arthur Fireworks. According to Larry Schlabach, this dream has been long in the making with a fun and interesting history. Larry is one of six siblings born to Daniel and Verna Schlabach: Lamar, Ronnie, Lori, Gary, Larry, and Terry, who grew up in rural Arthur. Back when the brothers were in their 20s, a friend of theirs, Mark Jones, and his father-in-law, Irvin Cam, showed Ronnie a golf ball cannon and got him thinking about the possibilities of launching a bowling ball. Ronnie bought a bowling ball at a rummage sale and started experimenting and kept getting better at it. Ronnie and his ambitious brothers had already built their own baseball field out in the country where they hosted games. During the seventh inning stretch, Ronnie would shoot off a bowling ball to the crowd's amazement, and this became a tradition. Up until the 1990s, firemen in Arthur would set off the fireworks for the 4th of July. But when many regulations started to be enforced, the Rotary Club took over, and the Schlabach brothers' friend, Mark Jones, became a member of the Rotary and was put in charge of the fireworks. The Arthur fireworks history was being written. By 2000, Mark showed Ronnie a small Niagara firework, a 1-inch in diameter, 12-inch cylinder, which came in strands. It lit everything like daylight and was peaceful and magical as it reflected off the trees. Ronnie really liked what he saw, and the inception of the Niagara Falls was born. Because of all the work it took to hang them, many people didn't want to make the time and effort needed to utilize them well, but Ronnie didn't mind. The brothers cut down long, slender trees from the river bottom and made poles on which to hang the Niagaras. It was the first contribution they made to the Arthur fireworks, placing them that first year on Jurgens Hill, every 20 feet down, so it would look like a waterfall. Ronnie and Brian Traxler put the poles in the ground and hung the first Niagaras. The first attempt were crooked, wonky trees, as Larry described it, affectionately called Dr. Seuss's Niagara Falls by Mark Jones. The next year, in 2001, the brothers wanted the falls closer to the crowd, so they were moved to the south side of the tractor pole and over the T-ball field and were hung from a light pole from one end and a forklift on the other end and grew 150 feet long. After the sheep barn was built, that block where Niagara Falls had been the year before, so they moved them to the south side of the practice field on the strip between the fence and the evergreens, and they were able to extend the falls to 500 feet long. That year, they used one crane in the middle, donated by Larry Yoder, and snorkel lifts on each end, which gave them ability to hang the individual Niagaras on a cable on the ground with zip ties to then be hoisted up. Each year, the team got better and quicker at assembling the exhibit. By 2007, they used two cranes, donated by Dennis Plack, owner of Tri-County Welding, and the falls got to a height of 100 feet. This company's been an invaluable supporter of the fireworks. Larry Schlabach said that Mark Jones' enthusiasm is what built the Arthur fireworks to what they are today, estimating upward of 30,000 to 40,000 spectators each year on the grounds and parked on county roads all around Arthur. In 2003, the Wall of Fire was added as well as the Rural Patriot, which is an absolute favorite moment of the amazing spectacle. The idea came as the brothers and their cousin were discussing that it's like a giant stage out of when the Niagara is lit for 90 seconds, we need to take advantage of that light and do more with it. The brothers' cousin, Marty Miller, is a horse trainer, and cousin Miller said, "Why don't you ride out in front of the Niagara with the American flag?" And the rest is history. Little did they know how impactful that would be and cause the Arcola fireworks to become an exceptional patriotic tribute, which also inspired the Rural Patriot mural in downtown Arthur a couple of years ago. Larry Schlaubach said that without the support of their parents, as well as support from the community, none of what you're privileged to see would ever have happened. And of course, Niagara Falls would never have come about without the encouragement of Mark Jones and his father-in-law, Irvin Cam, who introduced them to a golf ball cannon in the first place. As Mark Jones is noted to say, nothing is more powerful than an idea whose time has come. And Larry commented, we were just encouraged to dream big. So grateful they were. Happy 25th anniversary to the Niagara Falls and the Arthur Fireworks this year. The next article, Camp I Am Me offers a safe place of healing for burn survivors. Mount Prospect, Illinois. For the past 34 years, Camp I Am Me by Illinois Fire Safety Alliance has helped young burn survivors throughout Illinois by providing a place of acceptance and healing at its yearly summer camp held at YMCA Camp Duncan, Ingleside. This year's camp will be held from June 15th to June 21st. Camp IME's signature summer camp program offers a diverse range of activities for campers aged 7 to 20, in addition to specialized therapeutic sessions and support groups that allow them to say, I am me, despite any physical or emotional scars resulting from a burn injury. In this non-judgmental environment, survivors feel more comfortable sharing their experiences with others who have similar experiences. The campers enjoy activities like wall climbing, horseback, riding, fishing, high ropes course, a talent show, crafts, and more that bring them together to be supportive of one another. Kelly Ellingott, the Camp IME president and burn outreach coordinator at Loyola Medicine in Maywood, said due to generous network of sponsors, donors, and volunteers, we're able to offer this unique and empowering experience free of charge to survivors of burn injuries due to fire, electricity, chemicals, even scalding water. We invite anyone who wants to support our mission to get involved in this special journey of healing. Summer Camp's ultimate goal is to help burn survivors rebuild their self-esteem and confidence, which is why more than a third of its volunteers are survivors who previously attended camp as young people. Over the last three-plus decades, Summer Camp has positively impacted hundreds of lives, evidenced by campers and volunteers returning year after year. It's truly heartwarming to see how camp can positively impact these young people. It provides them with a strong support system filled with people who understand their experiences, which can change their lives for the better, both emotionally and psychologically, said Philip Zaleski, Camp IME Executive Director. The summer camp sees volunteers from Illinois Fire Service and medical community, as well as individuals from private sector and beyond. The camp aims to maintain a one-to-one volunteer-to-camper ratio. Although Camp IME has met its volunteer needs for this year's summer camp, there are other ways to get involved in the organization's mission, which can be found at campime.org/get-involved. For more information about summer camp and other burn injury survivor support programs, as well as fire safety, burn prevention resources available at Camp IME, please visit campime.org. And we have time for a few briefs. Church Host Gathering, a musical and patriotic worship and prayer gathering will be held on Saturday, June 28th at 2 p.m. at the Tuscola Community Building. This event, sponsored by Eagle Mountain Assembly of God, is open to the community and will be devoted to patriotic songs and worshiping God, as well as praying for our community, state, and nation. There will also be a special time of prayer for all veterans and for the families of active duty service members. For more information, call the church office at 217-253-4444. Way to go. A Douglas County resident was among students who received degrees from University of Tennessee at Martin during spring commencement ceremonies May 3rd. Marcus Anthony Watson of Newman received a Bachelor of Arts degree in music. Jonah Fish Fry. The Village Grove Lions Club will hold its Jonah Fish Fry June 21st, 4 to 7 p.m. at Villa Grove United Methodist Church, 302 2nd Street. Farmers Market. Tuscola will have a new farmer's market on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month starting June 25th, 5 to 7 p.m. on the west lot west of the community building, 122 North Central Avenue. Vendors may message the 605homebakery at gmail.com for information or look at the 605 Home Bakery on Facebook. Tuscola Library Events, Storytime every Tuesday at 10 a.m., June 19th, the Chess Club at 4, June 20th, 4 o'clock, Teddy Bear Sleepover Presentation, June 13th at 1 p.m., Toothpick Marshmallow Tower Building, June 24th at 5 p.m., Travel Club, June 25th at 1 p.m., Origami, June 26th at 5 p.m., Board Game Club, June 27th at 6:30, Outdoor Movie and Minecraft, week of June 30th, Scavenger Hunt all week, July 4th, the library will be closed. That is all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerking. Say goodbye and see you again next week.